your what hypothesis you're testing.
Exactly. And I was just going to lead into that, that minimum area depends critically on the hypothesis you're trying to test and the parameters that you're going to measure to test that hypothesis. If our parameter of interest is, let's say, 20-year stand growth or a 20-year increase in tree size, that's a fairly large stand level, almost landscape level parameter. And I think you need a much larger area than if you're measuring epiphytes or small rodents. So depending on where we go with treatments, I would see the hypothesis and the parameter of interest to be a first decision item. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, we're trying to develop a research thing, but we haven't even said exactly what we're the hypothesis we're trying to set.
The hypothesis that we had last time was that stand treatments do not affect acceleration towards late soil. And so, in order to test that hypothesis, you identified two different approaches.
Well, yeah, but I think the prescriptions you offered up, the light, medium, and heavy, they were varied in such a way that they all came back. And so you could certainly have, say, stayed with the heavy all the way through. You know, you had a heavy cut, and then you dropped it back to a medium or light, and right. So they all kind of converge because we kind of
converge, I think.
They probably will not if
because
you,
the target is probably roughly the same. It's just two approaches to the same target.
The question is how quickly you get there.
That's
the difference, I guess. How quickly you get there.
Yeah. And it's not just the trees, it's how quickly there might be changes in all these elements that we're talking about on page 6.
Right, and so the hypotheses should be, there should be multiple null hypotheses, and one should be, do the prescriptions vary in how quickly they grow trees of a certain size, how quickly they reach a certain basal area, how quickly they get some density of snags or some loading of LWD, or it should be multiple hypotheses and not one.
Sure. Well, it could be one hypothesis, and then these elements are the things you're measuring to test that.
Exactly.
But then the question comes back, how do you know when you've reached your goal?
Yeah. I mean, with the term late seral, it's so broad that
exactly
you could call any one of those reaching your goal.
But do we need to define the term in order to have a meaningful experiment?
Well, you don't really need to define the endpoint. What you're looking at is what's the difference between the treated and the untreated. So
it's a good time for me to throw this into Craig. Always, we have these field trips, and Craig gets out there and says, "It's forestry. It's not rocket science." And I always say, "You know what? It's a lot harder than rocket science because everything is so variable and it's constantly changing."
Well, we're trying to do something structural, and Helgi said it, and we know what our variability is out there through our inventory plots. So you need a pretty substantial area to document changes at that level.
Yeah.
In order to be able to fit enough monitoring plots in there to have any reliability in your estimate.
Yeah.
So I would say that just throwing it out there, you'd probably need 60 to 80 acres of this 45% treatment or of any treatment to be able to discern.
And that worries me about whether that is minimum. You see, whether that's... Yeah. And I would rather not run into that as an added difficulty. I think we've got enough difficulties without introducing that one.
I mean, I think if the argument can be made, it depends upon what you're really trying to measure, I do think, a lot, and how you go about choosing the plots.
So,
on
that point, I'm going to be wishy-washy and say, all I'm trying to do, I'm not trying to address that question, because to me it's too hard. Yeah. What I'm trying to do is have two compared approaches that will have some changes in the rate to which we might achieve late zero. And so we're going to try and create two different structures, even though they won't be that different, upon which one does monitoring, one tests epiphytes or broken, manipulated canopies, etc. And not worry about the difficult questions of what is late cereal and what are the elements you need to measure it. I'm going to monitor a subset of these and learn over time. I don't want to be presumptuous that on day one today we're going to set something up in detail that's going to last 100 years. I can't do that. And so therefore I'm not going to ask the question. I'm just going to create structure and opportunity.
I may be naive since I wasn't here at the last meeting, but why are we presuming at the outset that the 45% removal is going to be a difficulty?
Well,
you merely have to justify it.
Right, in terms of the amount of area that has over 30% removal. And like I said, I think the justification is going to have to be based on sort of a combination of professional judgment and, I don't know, shall I say, political sensibility.
Yeah. See, the last meeting, we had envisaged one model would be 100 acres of this.
Two treatments, 100 acres each.
Yes. In my mind, there's a question as to whether 100 acres of 45% removal of basal area is minimum needed for research. To my mind, it...
But is that 100 acres spread off? I mean...
Who knows? Or it could be in the fall.
Is this even on the table anymore?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think we're going to let ANOVA drive what we do.
Okay.
What's ANOVA?
It's a statistical test.
Analysis
of variance.
Analysis of variance, right.
Okay. Multiple tests. Right.
It is both on the table. In the second one here, if I was to pursue cutting this area into two, I would say lump one, two, and three together as one approach and lump four, five, and six together to receive a second approach.
Okay, so my question, then it would be 100 contiguous acres because it wouldn't be split into the blocks.
That's correct. Okay.
And the beauty of that from an experimental design, of course, is that then the reserve area becomes a fully contributing part of the design. You have essentially three treatments, no harvest, light harvest, more intensive harvest, roughly one-third of the area each.
What you lose is the replicates.
Yes.
In the random assignment of treatment.
You lose the ability to control experimental error in nerd lingo.
You say it much better than I do.
Well, I'd really like to resolve this by 12 before we go to lunch.
It'd be good if we could maybe start with what we agree upon instead of what we disagree upon.
What's your suggestion?
Well, maybe we ought to write down what we agree upon. You know, I don't know. I know it sounds like it's going back, but I think that at least I hear you saying things that maybe suggest that you think I have a bigger disagreement with you than I do about like the desire to test the heavier cutting thing. I am just not sure it needs to be. I think, for example, that it is a good part of this would be to test what happens. You know, I have to say, I come back, I start to think about this, and then I start to think about, well, when do you really know the results of this. And then I, you know, as I wrote in my little paper, it's like an insuperable problem that we're trying to test as human beings, something that we won't know the answer to for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm. So all we are doing is creating a trajectory.
And we're just nudging it. Sure. But we're nudging it so tinily. If it really takes 500 years, and maybe it takes multiple generations of these things before they really begin to establish what we think of as late Searle forest. I mean, you know, so I get overwhelmed by the kind of like maybe the utility of it. But assuming that we can have something positive to contribute to this, I think that it's reasonable to try to test if there's really some real advantage to like a heavier entry.
And what was that advantage?
To a heavy entry. I think testing is a in an idea of research is a useful thing to do. But if it really makes a difference relative to a light entry, I don't feel like it probably has to be done on a huge amount of acreage. I mean, that's my intuition. And you're saying it, you think it would take 60 or 80 acres or something like that. Could you explain why it would take that much?
Well, just my understanding of the variability and the redwood is clumping nature, and then you have the tan oak and the fir, you have that added variability. And you're also going to have this edge effect if you have it up against a control or a different level of treatment, that the effects of that is going to come into that stand maybe 200 feet from all around its borders. So if you want to get 20 plots in there, for example, 25th acre plots, I think you're going to have, you know, 60, 80, 100 acres in order to be able to discern the differences.
The issue, I think, it's the stand average is the percentage, you know, 30 or 40, whatever it is. But given the horizontal diversity, then I would end up arguing along with Mark that if we apply the 30 or, let's call it the 45% in a Brandon-style approach where you want to encourage horizontal diversity, then we're cutting 45% over the whole 100 acres. But in that 100 acres, there'll be areas that are not cut at all, not thinned at all, and areas that are heavily thinned, where you really want to take a clump and leave just one or two trees. In no case would there be a complete removal of a clump. My preference, personally, would be to maintain one of the approaches, a heavy cut of that kind, if it was acceptable, and compare that with a 30%. If that was unacceptable, then I would back off and say, well, let's cut them both 30%, but change the frequency of entry. We'll do one maybe in 8 or 10 years when the growth is enough to sustain an operation, a feasible helicopter operation, whatever that is, along with what proportion of the growth. And the other one, you delay it. The disadvantage of that is that it doesn't set you up for an immediate difference in stand structure. If one was to pursue this for 100 years, well then, there would be an opportunity to see the differences, but it won't do much initially.
Looping back to Vince's question about could it take a smaller acreage, I think Mark is right in that in forestry we have stands, and typically our parameters of interest are at the stand level, and you have a fairly large amount of variation from different sources. So I think it would be, just from the purpose of an experimental design point of view, advisable to have as large treatment units as possible. And I mean, the Railroad Gulf study was a pretty good example. The units are not exactly small. So
how big are they?
Railroad Gulch.
They're about 30 acres, I think.
So I think for the purpose of simplicity and power in experimental design, I would rather have two treatments contiguous 100 acres each rather than four treatments 50 acres each, for example.
Can we agree on that point? Not what these areas are going to receive, but we, at this moment, are thinking of the treated area divided roughly into two.
And having larger contiguous areas rather than these examples that were given here.
Yeah, they were an attempt to apply analysis, a design that would support statistical analysis.
Okay.
As soon as the ink was dry, I regretted it, but I put so much work into it.
Well, it's very, very useful.
The second one, I think, is... I would second John's suggestion of collapsing 1, 2, and 3 into Roman numeral 1, 4, 5, and 6 into Roman numeral 2, and then the reserve area being Roman numeral 3.
And what happens to...
Which map are you looking at?
Sorry, the one you're looking at.
Well, I didn't like trying to lay out those lines, so if you want to collapse them, that's...
And my thinking here is that then you would be creating two kinds of stand structures that provide a platform for research. Now, then you overlay research on top of that description.
Could... I agree with that premise. Two areas, larger size. I actually like that. The idea of areas 1, 2, 3, the way they're drawn on the map, just operationally, if we could tweak line 3 so that it actually followed the edge of the helicopter unit, which is right here, rather than right here.
Makes perfect sense.
Okay. That way, operationally, because you have, this is all helicopter, so you're getting enough area, and this other treatment's helicopter as this.
The word preliminary should be plastered all over the page, yes.
And see, I just moved the line to the watershed, sub-watershed divide, but...
Yeah. That's what I did first in my mind, was moved it there, but then I saw the helicopter boundary, and I was thinking, just for ease of operation.
And a suggestion in terms of the recreation values, particularly on the west side of the area, would be that if we do, you know, two treatments, one heavier, one lighter, that the lighter treatment would fall on what's now labeled 6.
Oh. I think that's a valid
this
idea.
This is if we're going to look at a heavier layer.
Yes.
As opposed to a
contingent on that concept.
Looking at thinning of stands is expressed in terms of intensity. And intensity of the thinning is a combination of the heaviness of the cut and how frequently you do it.
A comment on the frequency idea. Since we have overlapping yarding methods, if you're going to play with this frequency issue, then you've got to place your treatments carefully so that the frequent treatment can be accessed without yarding through the infrequent treatment. And then you're going to end up with these little helicopter units that you can't really... It's going to make it very difficult to do, as you suggest, to have the two different entry frequencies.
So, and I would prefer not to do that.
Is there any reason... Is a helicopter unit requirement specified in perpetuity, or is it only this first entry? Maybe it's not a huge deal.
It's a THP issue.
Well, they'll have balloons in 10 years' time or 20 years' time.
Yeah, I think they've been through that phase.
We did that once. I think they blew up.
Really? They tried?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, that's been tried.
Two helicopters with a balloon. And this Forest Service, they went bankrupt on that issue really quickly.
Yeah.
What did they call that thing? The
Hindenburg.
The Healy something.
One of the, like, the helicopters crashed or something and kind of scotched the whole thing.
Let me come back to my thought about this again, which is, you know, my plan, which was that you do the, except for where you want to do these experiments, you do the 30%. So it doesn't have to cover the whole. That's different. Your alternative is divided in two. And my alternative is to take the 30% as a standard and then figure out what experiments you want to do that need separate, different, distinct treatments. So that's an alternative.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the little map here that you have. And if you were to take 1, 2, 3, and 4, but just the upper half of it, basically, the part that's cable yarding, that would give you...
That the upper half is...
Well, like the part towards the ridge, I can say that.
Oh, which you're looking at this, the sixth version? Okay.
Yeah, you're looking at this one.
The uphill portion is okay.
Then you could have, and again, the boundaries have to be adjusted because there is this watershed thing right in the middle of it, so you better have... It's sort of fine. But you could do two plots of 20% thinning and two plots of 45% thinning on those. Okay. And that would give you a total of 60 acres of... they're about 30 acres, I figure. So these are six... Oh, maybe that's... Yeah. Oh, it's a total of 30 acres. I'm sorry, that'd be 30 acres of one, not 60. But right. I was thinking you could re-enter them. That was the other thing, you know, because they're up at the top of the ridge. You don't have, you're not going to be going over other plots and stuff to get at them.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you want to get in it, you're not going to screw it up with what you're doing in other areas. So.
So I lost you there. You said 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right, and you would do two of them, two of the upper half of them, the part near the ridge that's not in the helicopter part. So it'd be basically in the cable part of those.
You're saying two of those would be 25 and two of them would be 45? Of the 1, 2, 3, and 4? Like one and three would be 25.
Here's what I'm
doing. Four would be.
Oh, right. One, yeah, two would be.
Two would be 25 and two would
be
45%.
Removal. I see. Right.
And so then five and six wouldn't receive any silvicultural treatment?
They would be the 30%. Everything that wasn't done, that would be the 30%. Okay. In a sense, I guess you could say that's another treatment, but I don't know the difference between 20 and 30 and 45 is enough to really give you a... that, you know, you could.
Yeah, see, that's fine with you so far. What do we do with the lower slope areas that are in 1, 2, 3, and 4 that are helicopter?
Well, they would get to 30% removal. They would just have the brand, basically the
sure.
brand
and
description.
Now, what are we going to do about research? See, I'm with you up to this point.
Right. Well, and I would want, actually, part of what I would want is some part of those ones that are done would have this. I would like to think that part of the research is the active manipulation of the tree structure or something. Whether that's done in those four plots,
you see,
or whether it's done outside of those plots in six
or
five.
Or both. See, I could see finding the areas that Steve might be interested in anywhere in these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or the reserve. I don't...
That's true.
See, I don't know that we... Are we thinking about setting aside areas?
Well, I've been doing here is looking up some of Stillett's research because I'm not that familiar with it. In some of his early papers, he was looking at one or two trees and long-term, well, it's about 4 or 5 year colonization of, you know, and planting specific species of lichen and the consequences. Mm. So doesn't sound like you need a huge number of trees just for that particular, that narrow focus.
And see what we're talking about currently I think there's ample opportunity for Steve to find exactly the thinned or unthinned areas with trees in them that can have crowns manipulated.
I mean, if you're just looking at the epiphytes, now there's a lot of bigger picture stuff that needs more spatial continuity.
He did say 5-acre plots. He wanted 5-acre plots.
Yeah, and I couldn't find a methodology in there that referred to that.
He has a proposal, but he didn't ever send it to me, I don't have it to pass on to you. I've asked him a couple of times, and he said he would do it, but he's a busy man.
Do you know if he had a budget as a part of that proposal?
He did, because he submitted it, but it wasn't received.
Because that would be really helpful, you know, for us to consider as a part of the,
right.
You know, what we can have reasonably have resources to include in here.
Right.
If we could have that.
Yeah.
Well, and then I would worry about all the other kinds of research that we're not considering, that people might like to do if they had funds available to them.
But to me, this is research on active acceleration of late serial development, which is what the charter was. And it seems to me really an important thing to include in our proposal, because it really is a distinctly alternative approach. It really is like saying you're going to get out there and you're going to work on manipulating the trees. And that seems to me an important thing for us to include as part of what we would consider this prescription to be.
Let me just throw this out. How are the contracts written for the LTO? They're to follow the rules or the prescription and the harvest plan. So then would it be the LTO's responsibility to cover the cost of Steve going out and doing this manipulation because it is now part of the harvest plan? Obviously, I would think not, but...
Well, I mean, the manipulation wouldn't have to be part of the...
No.
Harvest plan per se,
no.
Because it's not involved with commercial timber operations.
That's why if we write it in
theory, one could have it written into the contracts with the timber buyer, who in turn would write it into the contract with the logger to do certain things. But the loggers aren't going to be inoculating trees with bryophytes or fungi. They may or may not be willing to go up and do the kind of pruning or topping that Steve wants. I'm not sure just who would do that kind of work, or if Steve puts on the climbing spikes and does it himself. I don't know.
He has younger graduate students.
I think it's the graduate students.
But what if I wanted to come along and say, I'd like to create 20 basal cavities? And I want to cut these out with a chainsaw, and then I want to scorch them with a blowtorch of some kind, because I want to encourage the number of basal cavities and see, do critters come and take advantage of this? That's legitimate. I'd sure like to encourage Steve to do some work. But there are other kinds of work that maybe could be encouraged as well.
Oh yeah, tremendous amount.
I'm going to be
particularly if people will come with their own money.
Yeah,
I'm going to be champion of the underfunded because you go to Steve's website at Humboldt and he's got his he's done work with the BBC and National Geographic and he's appealed. Appeared in some of my cousin's films, and it's like, okay, we've got kind of a rock star. It's important and interesting stuff, and it will, because he has the crossover with the articles in New Yorker, it will be major stuff, but we're investing a lot of infrastructure in this particular thing. Can we make this somehow more robust and it's the poor starving mycology grad student or this poor botanist out of Davis, can we also serve that person? And that's where... If we have to go this one route for a demonstration for social issues, then okay. But I think we need to recognize that.
But it would be a real benefit to Jackson if people like Steve can do research here. I think there's no question that would be attractive. If we can get 20, I mean, the ideal would be to have 20 or 30 researchers really wanting to come and take advantage of the structures that we've created, that, where there's diverse structure that they can take advantage of. So that's why the model that Vince has proposed, I think, is fine. How would it differ from the one I'm suggesting? I think only in the way that what I would be trying to do is have more diversity rather than having the matrix done one way. I'm suggesting the matrix be done two ways. If we can have a light and heavy, I'd love it. But I don't want to bump heads with the settlement agreement. If I take the settlement agreement literally and that becomes a constraint, then I will back off and do something that to me is not as attractive. But it's the best, I think, in terms of frequency of entry. It's just an attempt to try and provide different structures.
I thought I heard Vince say, you know, proposing, you know, let's do certain areas, 20%, 30%, and 45%. Is that so? I think Vince is, you know, saying he's comfortable with.
I would probably prefer two rather than three, on the argument that I don't think the differences between 20, 30, and 40. I mean,
right.
I don't think we can apply it on the ground in a manner that could. The error could be. It'll be huge. So I'd rather have two diverging things rather than three.
I agree. From an experimental design point of view, yeah. I don't think we have the level of resolution in measurements to capture meaningfully three treatments.
No.
Time will tell, obviously. But
if this was flatland southern pines...
So would the two be, if we're, you know, we have it... Vince was suggesting 20, 30, 45. If we were to sort of mush that back down to two, would it be 25 and 45?
25 or 20 and 45, as we had last week. That would be something I think is reasonable. Structurally, that something might be different that I can look at.
Well, knowing that Brandon's already 30 and there was the comment made that, you know, if we did another area of 30, it would be somehow related to Brandon. The difference between 25 and 35 is not that great.
Well, that's
I would
true.
Recommend 30 and 45 myself.
Particularly if you're trying to accelerate the change in vegetative structure. 20% is not going to do anything very much.
No.
So I have a question for Vince, and it's related to the minimum area. You mentioned two of the upper slope blocks would be 45 and two would be 30.
I thought it was supposed to be 20 and 45 to get really distinct difference.
And then everything else would be 30.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the idea?
Right.
Okay. And why the upper slope only?
To let you be able to get in there more handily and readily with one, you know, like when you want to come back. And
well, if we're not going to alter the entry periods,
yeah.
Then it would be better to just go from the top of the slope to the bottom to capture the variability within each. Type
yeah.
of tree.
If we're going to go with a light and heavy, then I would not have. I would have the same entry period.
Yeah.
Based on,
we don't need to split the upper and lower slope that way, or they try to differentiate the yarding method.
Well, I thought my purpose in taking the upper half was when it was two different methods, so to avoid the complications of having two different methods in your measurements, you would like do that. And it just seemed to me that if you had, I don't know, since it's the upper half, so maybe they're 20 acres, you'd have two 20 acre plots of each one. And if there's really, we're measuring the diameter, the changes of average diameter in these plots, or the distribution of diameter changes over time. It just, I don't know, 20 acres seems like, two 20-acre plots seemed like it would give you a reasonably robust statistical result. If there's really significant difference, I mean, if there's this, and I don't know what that means exactly, but we're looking for something significant. And so if it, in fact it isn't enough, in a sense that would be enough to say, well, really the null hypothesis holds up.
Yeah, I wouldn't put in two 20-acre plots. I mean, I wouldn't put 20-acre plots in. I would put in plots of a size in relationship to what it is I want to measure. And so, if I'm thinking trees...
So treatment unit versus plot, is, are we getting Vince's terms wrong?
We're using plot in the sense of experimental.
We're using different terms.
Vince is
yeah.
talking trees.
Treatment area.
Okay, plot treatment area.
Oh, I see. Okay. I wasn't.
I was thinking of experimental plots, treatment areas.
Yeah, that'll be a different method, okay. Different term.
Okay.
It's not as though you're going to measure every tree on these things.
Yeah, that was 20 acres of mapping branches.
Question that, in addition, you'd have monitoring plots within these experimental treatment areas.
Yeah.
This is called treatment blocks or treatment areas.
Yeah, and they would be allocated either at random or on transects. So.
Yeah.
And they'd be nested such that depends relative what it is you're trying to, the variance of what it is you're trying to measure.
I guess I'm a little skeptical about 20 acres, not necessarily because I want to harvest as much as possible, 45%, but I think based on stand level parameters, I'm not sure 20 acres is enough to avoid edge effects.
Mm. Especially on a north slope. That's another thing that would drive your tree response differently.
Yeah. Mark throughout 60 to 80 acres. If we're comparing two treatments purely as a statistician, I would like to have them both be about the same area, but that is somewhat flexible. You can work, to some extent, you can work around that. Ideally, they would be about the same area.
Well, we currently have two possible approaches.
So we have two approaches, two units, two different cutting levels, and as far as defining the boundaries of the two units, they are, where are we at with that?
We had two proposals there.
Okay.
We had one was to split this whole thing into two pieces, treat each one separately.
Right.
And then we had Vince's, which was to take 1, 2, 3, and 4 and break them in half, upslope, downslope. And do then 5 and 6 on the 30%. I prefer simplicity myself.
I was going to say simplicity, and also, the harvesting method. And I know that's what Vince was going for, but logistically, I don't see an issue if the helicopter unit is down in the bottom. I would just want to make that helicopter unit one particular prescription. I wouldn't want a little corner of the helicopter unit to be a different prescription. I think that would be very awkward and not conducive to what we're trying to do.
And if we were to divide the area along Vince's lines, the experimental, the opportunities for the experimental work would still be there in what I will call the matrix cut at 30%. As well as it would be in the model that I've suggested, where we just divide it into 1, 2, and 3 with provisions for the helicopter boundary, cutting the area into two parts. So I don't see an issue there. I think what I would want clarified is if we were to have two treatments, is it acceptable to have one cut at around about 25 to 30 and the other one roughly 45? Is this going to be acceptable? In that it would cover roughly, you know, the 45% would cover roughly 100 acres. And the argument in support of that is that it would create initially two different structures. And so if that becomes unfeasible, then selecting two treatments that are sufficiently different initially becomes maybe so great that we drop it and go back to Vince's and say, well, we can take the upslope portions of 1, 2, 3, and 4 and on half of that give a 45%. And then we run into, well, if you have boundary, I mean, edge effects, and you have stream side buffer zones, etc., whether that becomes large enough to provide the research opportunities.
Well, we've got a huge control here. Right side.
Well, slightly different side.
Yeah.
But there's variability in
there. Yeah.
Well, it feels to me that we're kind of, I don't know, there's a little bit of gelling, maybe I'm wrong in reading the sense of things, on, you know, two prescriptions, you know, like you said, John, one in sort of 25 to 30% range, another sort of in the 45% level. And then it's kind of beyond the, if we go with that, it seems to me the second question we have to answer is, what do we feel is the minimum size, appropriate size for the 45% treatment, since that's beyond the 30% level. And, you know, kind of heard a range of thoughts here. 80 acres seems to be kind of somewhere in the middle of there. So I don't see that we need both. If we have these two treatment approaches, I don't see a need for both of the treatment areas to be the same size. Again, I think it's the matter
that's true.
The minimum size needed to get reasonable results, reasonable basis for drawing results for the 45% harvest. So that if we did that, that would be about 80 acres then in 45%, and about 120 acres in the lighter prescription.
They don't have to be the same size statistically. It gets less and less optimal the more they diverge in size. So if it was 40 acres and 160 acres, you'd probably have some issues with the inference that you're drawing and the defensibility of that. So it's kind of a sliding scale.
You might have to alter your
purely
plot.
From a statistical point of view.
You might have to alter your plot density within the two treatments. You might have to alter your plot density within the two treatments.
Right.
To capture it.
So operationally, what are we talking about being the defining line between the two plots? I mean, it's pretty obvious we have an east and a west. Where do we want that line to be? Knowing that there seems to be consensus that the west area should be the lighter cut.
Well, I would tend to use watershed boundaries and run down, you know, the very, very large draw that we came out on our hike. Come on up the hill from there, and it comes up close to that knob on top. I myself am not concerned about having a little piece of helicopter. It's not going to matter to the helicopter operation one bit. It's just a matter of the people on the ground doing the timber marking need to know where they are. I would just run up that diagonally from the base of that draw to the southwest.
Could you sketch that on the flip chart?
Oh, it's just basically here. Just come on up here, up this ridge, wherever the ridge is that comes up here.
Yeah, dividing it into two. If you were to divide it into two.
Yeah, if you were to divide it into two, because you also have six over here on the lighter treatment. You got 30% in what's left of 4, 5, and then 6.
What if alternatively you divided, like you came up the watershed, up the stream, and put to the one side of that one block and create an equal block on the other side?
So you mean the one and two?
So basically except that the line for one is now, I don't know, that goes up something other than the stream. So it'd be like one and a half of two, and then half of two and three, basically, something like that. And then you would have two plots that would be kind of equal size. But I'm still staying with my idea of the other being 30%, so I'm still back. So I'm just looking for, and then that would be whatever we think for you. Each plot would be 630, maybe 50, 40, 40 to 50 acres. Maybe like something like that.
If that's big enough, I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with trying to keep the heavier cut to the smallest acceptable area as long as it's...
Lynn, can you do calculations of acreage?
That's just trying to bring up GIS, just because I was curious looking at the. I was going to look at the canopy to see is that representative, because that's kind of a all an east facing slope, so we'd have something that's
my dot grid.
Kind of analogous in five. Yeah,
plastic
GIS.
Vince, can you run by me again? What you were suggesting? You were suggesting take 1, 2, and 3 and split that up the middle of the water course, essentially, into just two?
Yeah. And then because that's what they were talking about, making more simple.
Okay. And then the treatments on those two plots would be...
Are you looking at the boundary, as the helicopter cable boundary?
No, they were saying they didn't care about that. Originally, I was talking about having it on the upper parts.
Yeah.
But they're saying... They wanted to do the whole thing, so I was just taking like his transects, but just making them a little bit bigger, so you got rather than whatever these are. But then you'd only have two plots rather than the four, and sort of the area would be about the same.
Yeah,
we need. They'd be split up, and maybe a little bigger.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. To lay this out, what's the best way to lay it out?
Some dark
you have some? Because I found my truck.
I'll check the grit desk. I'll put it out there. Lunch. How about in here?
Okay, yeah, we have a knob here, so we have a potential dividing line.
There we go.
Are you looking for another color?
Yeah, how about some? I got some black and red here.
All right. Good. Here's the ridge. End up with a split. Right?
Yeah.
Take a block here, and then these two. You want the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on there?
No, I think it's better.
Yeah.
You have it.
Yeah, the numbers confuse it.
Yeah.
But if you could number those blocks or letter them or something. And so Vince, your idea with these four blocks would be that which blocks would receive which treatments?
Well, between C and D, they would get, one would get 20 or 25, I guess, is your experimental choice, and one would get 45.
Okay,
sure.
And then A and B would get 30.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem with this at all. In order to conduct research, and then I would consider allocating sort of experimental plots at random, a mixture of those plus transects.
So when you're talking about plots, you're talking about monitoring plots.
Yes.
Okay.
Not approximate plots, yeah.
What should I call them, Helga?
Monitoring plots sounds good.
Inventory plots. If you say inventory plots, I'll know.
Everybody understands.
I'll understand what that means.
Yeah, because you're not going to measure all the trees. If I want to measure, if I want to measure changes in tree diameter and increment, etc., how would you do this, Helga? My thought would be I would allocate large enough plots, monitoring plots, to capture the variability in horizontal variability in tree size. And so these might be, if it's a fifth of an acre, they're only 100 feet on a side, which is really not big enough.
For measuring?
The trees. And so I would want, four to six, I don't know, measurement plots for the trees.
Why wouldn't they be big enough?
I don't have enough.
Depends upon how many plots.
I don't have enough trees in them.
In each plot?
Yeah, you have to have. Yeah, I'd want to have, because of the horizontal variability. If I'm going to use a marking guide like Brander, which I would suggest we do, then if I want to measure the effect of these two treatments, the measurement plots have to be large enough to.
Certainly.
But not so large that I'm measuring too many trees.
Right, but there's the classic trade-off between size of each individual plot and the number of plots. Right?
And so I'd rather have more smaller ones than fewer large ones.
Quite frankly, I would rather have 1/5-acre plots because that's what the CFI are. And we put in a dense enough grid in these.
Yeah.
To capture what we want. And
to me, a fifth acre is small.
Reuse them 5 years later for permanent plot purposes.
It's relatively small, but a crew can get in there and at least get the tree elements measured in a day versus having to come back and march halfway up that mountain the second day.
I have a suggestion. If this is 45% and this is, was it 20, 25?
Yeah.
I would propose, given the lack of statistical and practical difference between 25 and 30, that we stick with two treatments instead of introducing 25 versus 30, which I think will just confuse the issue. So, i.e., instead of 20 to 25.
If I have no constraints,
make it 30.
Which one is it? Should we put the 45 in the middle so it's, or stick all the 30 together?
Yeah, see, there's not much difference between the 30 and 45. I don't know that we could cut it. Because the emphasis is, we could try and cut to a standard average of 30 on B and 45 on C, but it'll be very difficult to do.
Oh.
Well, do you want to go for 20? I mean, that at least gives a more distinct difference, 20 and 45.
Yeah, or 30 and 60. I mean, it's got to be substantial.
I agree.
Well, I mean, 0 and 100, come on.
you know, 30, that's 50%
we got
difference
zero
between 30 and 45. But you think
there you go, that's out of control.
I'm sorry, Ross.
There's a 50% difference between 30 and 45. Do you think that's not going to be
well, measurable? Well, this was flat land and southern pine plantations, no sweat, just go and do it. It's big, I mean, sure, nice and easy to do.
What do you think, Mark?
I don't know. My own view on 20% is that depending on how you do it, you're not going to have much of an effect on anything. I think you can differentiate the 30 from 45, but you can have little areas in here, maybe 3-4 acres that are exactly like little acres, 3-4 acre areas in there. Well, you won't be able to differentiate.
Well, no, that's fine.
Yeah. Let's assume that we're going to have that kind of within treatment variability.
It's primarily clump-based, so it's how we allocate to the clump, so I think we can be differentiated.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, those areas that are marked 30%, you could go in there with a research and find areas that essentially control plots. I mean, just uncut clumps. And you have a problem with a buffer, maybe, but depending on what it is you measure. But there's going to be opportunity for research in A and B, depending on what it is you want to study. So I don't want to let myself think that they are sort of uncut control. I mean, they control them out of the research picture.
I guess there are really two issues. One is the issue of replicability with Brandon and staying consistent with that. And depending on what we decide, we may give that up. But I see an advantage in having 30% in both places. The second issue is, regardless of the actual number, I think three basal area removals are excessive. I think from a experimental design point of view, two are optimal, especially if it's 25 versus 30.
Yeah, I would agree. And so the follow-on from that statement would be that you lump C and D together for a single treatment.
Yeah.
So C and D just happens to kind of match a veg polygon, which is around 100 acres. That wouldn't include taking the Wilpez out.
That would or would not include the...
That wouldn't include the Wilpez. Okay. It does the bottom.
And there's also a trail.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is this may not... I'm not familiar with this program, whether it's calculating right, so that may not.
There's also the trail alignment that goes through there that would...
Yeah.
You know, we haven't talked about that. The easy thing would be, say... let's just use the same trail rules as we had in Brandon.
Yes, that's what I would envisage. But there is a trail that goes essentially through C and D.
Yeah.
Proposed.
Yeah, basically the trail alignment would be established, and that alignment would be treated as if the trail were actually there.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not part of the in quotes prescription.
Right.
But we need to recognize it. But simply because the trail is there is no argument to me that C and D should be the same or C and D should be different. I mean, the trail could take advantage of...
No, I was just indicating just that if we were to lump C and D into one prescription at the 45% level, and was Vince is concerned about how much of the area gets treated at that higher intensity,
okay.
having the water course in there right. is going to reduce that overall amount within that area. Having that trail alignment, getting trail treatments in there, is going to have an overall downward effect on the intensity treatment there. That's yeah. sort of the point I was going for.
And so, Helge, although I'm in agreement with the base argument that two treatments that are different are better than three that don't have much difference, given the series of constraints we have, I could back off that and say, well, if we have either C or D at 45, we might be better off than trying to have C and D at the same. I mean, put up with the lesser opportunity. If you have a smaller area for 45, it reduces opportunity for research. But maybe that's the best compromise we can come up with to give us variability and yet meet the constraints that we all recognize.
So, Russ, the trail is going to be... Is that...
Sketch the trail in.
Is it
A likely trail scenario is probably something like... it's probably going to come here, come up the knob, come down the up down the ridge. It's probably going to then start working its way down the slope, and then from there, I don't know, it's going to find its way down this water course, I would think. Wouldn't you think people would want to walk that water course?
Right. Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of how it gets down to that water course. Is it going to be through C most likely, or down this ridge that we kind of walked the other day a ways, and then we broke off? Or it could, you wouldn't want to come over here because then you're crossing a whole lot of water course, little water courses to do it. So something like that.
Okay. So D is kind of relatively immune from it.
Yeah, fairly. And then this is, of course, all class 2. Mm-hmm. So you got the class 2 water course zone on this, and then there's a 2 up here and a 2 here.
As a statistician, I would throw out the following. One unit here, one here. One hair and one hair. Control. You have a nice, simple.
Helge, you're using the trail as a boundary line.
No.
No, I'm combining C and D.
Okay. Oh, I see.
He's going back to the
yes.
the treatments, which he likes.
A proposal.
I like too.
A proposal to the late sale group. I don't want to be presumptuous.
If this was acceptable, I like it too. But there's
there's a lot of positive arguments from sampling that way. It's just is it constrained?
And so we're estimating that units C and D there are about 100 acres, but we're not really sure.
I don't.
One of the descriptions of Camp 3 I've seen is it's 366 acres. Of which about 100 is in reserve. I don't know whether that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I would think that the reserve is probably larger than that when I look at the map.
Yeah, it's like a pretty big area, the reserve.
Yeah, we had numbers at one time.
320 acres in the reserve.
Well, if it was 360 and it was 120 in reserve, that would be 240.
Okay.
Is that what it was? Say that again?
Somebody said 360.
Yeah.
And then it was 120. I'm just doing arithmetic.
I'm glad someone still...
Based on numbers, somebody else threw out.
Right, exactly.
If the reserve is indeed 120 acres, I would guesstimate roughly that C and D would be somewhere between 80 and 100.
Yeah, I would, if that's, yeah, that looks smaller.
Yeah.
Really, it looks like it's about half. C and D together look like about half. When I look at this map.
Half of this?
No, half of. Oh.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
This is about half. This
he was saying if this was 120, C and D look like somewhere between 80 and 100.
But I'm saying if it's... Oh, I see from that kind of visual thing.
Yeah.
I see. Right. I got it. List of
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Vince, what does the suggestion of treating both C and D at the 45% do to your comfort level?
Well, it takes it away. You know, I proposed that because it seemed comfortable to me, reasonably. You know, that it was a reasonable amount. It was kind of big enough to let you test the hypothesis that you're trying to test, which is that there's some difference in the growth rates, and it was they were sort of comparable plots, and I thought you're going to do 20 and 45 so that you would really have a distinct difference between them, but that, you know, whether you do 30 and 45, that doesn't reduce my comfort level. What reduces my comfort level is trying to significantly increase that 45% level, which I don't really
think. Understand, it's the 45 or it's the acreage of the 45?
It's the acreage of the 45.
Yeah, so I don't want to run into that. I want to support the intent of the settlement agreement. I don't want to go forward with something that does not respect that. Let me ask then, if we were to include a 45%, what acreage, what's the acreage that is in the ballpark of acceptability?
You're asking me
that? Yeah.
Well, I think it needs to be big enough so that you can have some reasonable confidence that you can measure a difference if there is one.
Yeah, and then a difference in what? Is if it's small mammals or it's...
Right. And I think that you're really focusing on the trees in that particular time frame.
That's the simplest, because we're amending it in THP. But...
So maybe the notion of a stand? Is that what...
Well, I mean, we've already got this split up, so let's not digress from that. So is it going to be C or D?
Well, I would think...
Would you be comfortable with one of those, C or D?
Yeah, I would be comfortable with either one, and I think that...
Okay.
And I think that it also makes sense, given that we are doing this experimental thing, that the... I mean, if it were me doing it and I cared about the public, but I don't think you should do a lighter... I think you should lop all the stuff down near the trails.
True.
And stuff.
It'll happen.
But you shouldn't change your prescription next to the trail.
No.
Because that's going to really screw up your,
right.
your
well,
statistical
thing.
But you do the lopping and,
thing. Are you thinking do... exactly the same trail prescription as we had in Brandon, or something different than that?
Well, I'm saying it's different because there you were going to reduce the amount that you cut in
right.
the trails, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you were going to go down from 30 to 20 or something like that, or whatever. Anyway, lighter.
So here you're suggesting...
And I don't think you would want to do that.
Lopping.
If the trip, that you would do the lopping.
Slash management.
So it might be nicer from the public's point of view. It was the 30 where the trail went through and the 45 where the other one.
So you had more of an educational aspect of the trail than in Brandon. Yeah. More of an educational aspect.
Because there'll be lots of walking that trail would be, I think, a lot of opportunity for information about compatibility.
Well, either one is going to give you that because you're going through a harvest area.
Yeah. I mean,
so you would be more comfortable, say, 30 here because the bulk of the trail is going to be in that unit.
Right. I just think from the public's, I mean, they're going to get plenty of chance to see timber, whether it's 30 or 45.
Right.
But I'm personally not going to, like, push for one or the other on that. And that, I'm comfortable that you all make that choice. I mean, that seems to me that's...
One or the other. What did, I didn't understand one or the other.
Either C or D.
He didn't care which one was 45.
If it was me, and maybe I'm just being chicken, but I'd put the 45 in D. And then in C, I'd like to have something that is quite different. And even though, you know, 20-25% really isn't going to do much, but maybe it's silly to have it 30. And so I would probably make C 20%, let's say 20%.
Three treatments?
Yeah.
Well, if we were to go with the...
Or if it's not big enough, just make it the same as A, B, and C would be the same. And
if we were to go with two treatments, I would probably opt for C to be the 45 and D to be the 30 or 25, whatever it is. Mostly because it's, as much as the aspect has any effect on what we're measuring, it's bracketed on both sides by a similar aspect, whereas if you go to 45, then, I mean, to D, then that's the only the thing there with a kind of a northwesterly aspect.
Yeah,
so
that's true. Yeah, I was just thinking about making that trail as in quotes attractive,
right,
as possible, and yet. And giving us some opportunity for... I mean, the recreation is just as important as the research, really.
Well, I mean, you could route it through the top part of C and get some vistas there, possible, and then snake it down through D as well.
It's not as easy as you think, because you start going really down into that drainage. Like, you know, try to walk along that
what
part
about,
over there.
So. What would happen... If we made B the 45, and then the C and D 30, does that buy us anything? Make C and D 25 to 30.
Can I just throw something out? I think we're just jumping around B, C, and D, and we don't even know what the acreage are on each one.
Well,
so if we're judging this on the minimum acreage necessary for scientific validity, and we have no clue as to what acreage C and D really are, if there's any way we could find that out.
Well, I don't know.
We can get a dot grid after lunch somewhere.
Well, you can email. Do you have access to, you on the email system?
Yeah.
He doesn't have this map, unfortunately.
Sebastian's back in the office.
He's back.
Fax it to him.
Yeah, we can fax him this map and just have him work up the acreage and then also an acreage with the coming up the water course, splitting the two sides of number two. Well, let's ignore this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and just ask him for this and that and then this and this and
so
that.
The A, B, C, D?
Yes.
A, B, C, D.
A, B, GC will be in control.
Okay.
At least that way we have numbers that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe C and D together is only 80 acres.
Fact-based decision making.
What a concept.
Well, it gets us lunch.
What a concept there, too.
Sorry.
No, we can't go to lunch till we finish this.
Quick, where's the fax machine?
That's not working for solving the budget problem, is it?
No,
that's so ridiculous.
Yeah, we can't get overtime, so... We can't finish this. We have to leave.
Well, you can work overtime. You're just not going to get
we can't.
Paid for it.
We were told not to.
Oh, okay.
We were told we can't volunteer our time. Of course, most of us are, but...
You can't volunteer your time?
I think we ought to quit for lunch, then. it seems like a good break, as time for a break as any. But we really have to capture this right after lunch.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things I heard, I think, from Helgi, maybe, was that probably a minimum... Statistically reasonable is 60 acres. You know, we've kind of got ranges from 68 to 100, but the lowest number I heard was 60. I don't know if that's anything to hang one's hat on, but...
Probably not.
Okay.
But it's a number, Steve.
Basically sticking your neck out.
I think that was me, so I know it's probably not.
So is there something that we can address now before lunch, or do you think we need to take a break at this point?
Well, I want to make one comment on, you know, the issue of, are we going to do some other experimentation in here, like Steve Sillett variety work or something, and, you know, are we going to try to wire that in now or wire that in later? And certainly that's, you know, it's up to this committee to decide what they want to recommend of that. One suggestion could be if there's uncertainty about specifically trying to wire in Steve's proposal or something else at this time, would be a recommendation to the department that they set aside, I don't know, just to kind of pull a number out of the air, $30,000 for competitive research grant for doing some add-on treatments in this area, whether it's in the control area or the other areas, of whether it's Sillett style or some idea somebody else has, to give an initial seed fund for some of this add-on research for trying some of these other approaches for developing late straw structural elements, et cetera.
Yeah, this is totally what I had in mind. I don't know what the budget figure might be, but whatever it is, that's the way I would envisage attracting people to do research.
Yes, and in fact, we started out in glorious fashion years back with $600,000 in that kind of funding.
Do you have any left?
That lasted 1 year.
It all got used up in 1 year.
Oh yeah, there was $2.4 million worth of proposals competing for that $600,000.
Wow.
The plan was to have $600,000 every year.
And did they actually follow through?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, all the work, all the money was spent, all the research was completed. Yes.
Very good.
Well, at that point, I think we need to take a break.
I think you're right.
And we'll try and get back at 1:30.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it might look like it's slow, but it's making progress.